I extend a Christian greeting also to each and every one this morning. Glad to be in the house of God this morning with you all, worshiping the Lord collectively today. And before we proceed in the message, maybe we could all stand and for prayer. Our gracious eternal Father in heaven, yes, thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for your love, like we were singing. It has changed us, and we will never be the same. That's because of you. Hallelujah. We bless you. We've been hearing this morning also about the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for thy Spirit that has come to teach us and illuminate thy word to us, and that is what we desire you would do it now at this hour. Lord, that you will continue to guide us into all truth by thy word. And we just look to you and thank you for this and ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning, what I'd like to share with y'all is I felt inspired to share this with you. The title of my message is Developing Good Character in Our Children. And yes, our children come to us untrained. You know, they seem so pure and innocent, but they're untrained. And God has given to you as parents, all of us that have children, that gracious opportunity and a responsibility to teach our children, to bring good character out in their lives. So I'd just like to encourage all of us parents with that. Yes, when I had to think, you know, with just a newborn baby, that I've seen two of my grandchildren just recently born. They just seem so pure, so innocent. But you know, the Bible, the Word of God says that a child left to himself bringeth their parents to shame. So if we do nothing, if we just do nothing, what can we expect? With time, within a few years, you see the character of, not even a few years, but the character enough of selfishness coming out of them. That's one of the first traits. And so God wants us as parents to develop character in their lives. So I'd like to encourage you with that and talk about that this morning. Because character will determine their destiny. Character does not save anybody. It takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to save them. All of us. The wonderful news of Jesus Christ, what he's done on the cross for each one of us, paid for our sins. That is what saves us. But God does tell us, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. We trust that in the future, sometime, God will then call them. They will hear the voice of God speak into their lives, and they will respond to God's voice. And God will continue to change them, just like he does you and me, as parents. Because, and even if someone, I would like to clarify this too, even if someone, you know, the gospel is for whosoever will. And there's people that have been raised in very dysfunctional homes. Maybe their parents didn't even live together after, and they have not known the figure of a father in their home. God is able to save to the uttermost, even everyone that comes to Him. And then He begins to change their character. Because we believe only through that is God glorified. Like it says in Psalms 40, I cried unto the Lord, and He has lifted up me up out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And it says, He has put a new song in my heart, even praise to God. I think it's verse 3, it says, many shall see it and fear and come to trust in the Lord. Always appreciate that verse 3. It says, many shall see it. They see a change in the character of that person. Even though it maybe did not lack that very much, the character of godliness, a good character in his youth. But when God comes into his life, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, He begins to take that person and change him. That many will see it. What happened to that drunk? What happened to that thief? He's different. He's changed. Praise God. Because people see it when their character is changed. Professionally, you know, just profession of Christ is like a well with no water. There's nothing in it. So God wants character. And in the lives as believers and as parents, He wants us to develop that character in our children. So I'd like to talk about that, encourage you with that this morning. What is character? Good character. Character is the inward motivation to do what is right according to the highest standard of behavior in every situation. It's moral excellence. What you do when no one sees you. Character is the conscience of the unwatched. Character consists of the stable and distinctive qualities built into an individual's life, which determines his or her response regardless of the circumstances. And I think Joseph is a good example of character, of good character. It didn't matter for his circumstances. He was rejected by his brothers, sold into Egypt as a slave. And there what happened to him? He was falsely accused. And yet because of his character, did it affect his destiny? Yes, it did. Joseph would not have become what he did, what we see he did, if it would not have been for his godly character that was instilled into him in his youth, I believe, by his father. As a young man in the prime of his life, facing that temptation with Potiphar's wife, what did he say? He says, how can I do this wickedness and sin before God? He was God conscious. He had the fear of God in his heart. And no doubt, where did that come from? It came from his father, teaching him the fear of God. And we will talk about that. Think of Daniel and others in the Bible, that character, would they have gotten to where they were if they would have lacked character. So character does affect your destiny in this life, what you become, and I believe also in the life hereafter. Then there's another word for character, and that is, according to the word study, this verse I got from, it doesn't come to me right now, but this is from the Word Study Dictionary New Testament. The character originally means or meant an engraver or an engraving tool as a chisel. Later, it meant the impression of itself, something cut in or stamped as the impression on a coin, the picture on a coin. This was considered as the exact representation of the object, and that was called character. And we have that in the passage of Hebrews 1, where it speaks about Jesus Christ. And I will just read the first three verses of Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 3. It says, God, who at summary times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, that is character. The express image, like I made mention here, the impression in a coin. And here it says, Jesus was the express image of his person, of God the Father, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The express image, I think of, who was it? Philip, in John chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. There Philip asked Jesus a question. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So here we see of Jesus Christ the exact representation of the Father. Character gives beauty to life. Think of Mordecai, Esther, or Daniel, Ruth, Hannah, Joseph in Egypt, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and many others. The wisdom by which they ordered their lives is beautiful. And because there was character in their lives, they went through trials, temptations, disappointments. But those trials turned out into amazing testimonies because of the character that was in their lives. Think of Job with what he went through, the character that he had. He was a man of character. With all he... severe trials, tribulations that Job endured. It says he did not sin with his mouth, with his lips. And millions have been inspired and encouraged by the testimony of Job. How many have been inspired by the testimony of his wife? Why? She said, well, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? No doubt she felt the pressure too that what her husband was going through. But it seemed like she caved in time of pressure. But Job is the one that inspires us today, doesn't he? When we go through difficult experiences in our lives, it is easy to forget when we read about these people's lives that they were real people also, just like us. They were not heroes of faith because they were perfect human beings, but because they chose to follow God while they were facing incredible pressures to do otherwise. They chose to follow God, take His way. Because they feared God, they knew God. Then think of Cain, Haman, King Manasseh, Jezebel. You know, Jezebel might have been able to win a beauty contest. But did you ever hear anybody name their child Jezebel? Why? Because she lacks character. There's no beauty in her character. She might have been beauty externally, but she lacked character. And it's repulsive. King Herod, Hitler. Just to name a few. Their lives are ugly. Why? Because their character is ugly. They have no beauty in their character. But so much of pride and selfishness was dominant in their lives. So lack of character is repulsive. You know, even though people that lack character many times, they appreciate and respect people of character, of good character. So men of good character are the conscience of society today. You know, we said this morning in our Sunday school lesson, how does the Holy Spirit work and bring in conviction of sin? And one is to God's people. They are the conscience of society when they have character. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. It will get noticed because it stands out. A light on a hill, it's dark, and the light shines because of character." The light of Jesus that changes your life and has changed your life. But it's also sad when men, women of position, pastors, teachers, evangelists, people in government office, you know, fail in character, of a moral character. It seems something like that grabs the world's attention and it gets posted on the news, especially if it's an evangelist, a well-known world evangelist. It seems they delight in, it hits the headlines. Think of King David in 2 Samuel, what happened to him when he failed with infidelity. The prophet said to him, yes, you're forgiven. The Lord will forgive you when he repented and says, I repent. He sought God's forgiveness We read about his plea, I believe, with God in Psalms 51. But this is what the prophet said. He says, "Because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme." You know, and that's what happens when men of character and a profession of faith, evangelists, they fail in character, in moral character. So, certain character qualities are very foundational for a successful marriage. And that's probably why we see so many marriages today that are dysfunctional. It's because of lack of character in their lives. It seems like when somebody wants a driver's license, it takes like 6 months of training to have a driver's license to make sure you know how to operate that vehicle. But it's pretty easy to get a marriage license. No training. And character doesn't really matter as long as you think you love each other. But give it a little bit of time. It seems it's hard for marriages to last today in our society. It's because our society is crumbling. They don't have character. It's because they don't have the fiber of the Word of God in their homes and in their churches. So many of them. So these youth, they rise up, children, and they lack the character. And they want to get married, and they don't know how to respond and function together. That selfishness that should have been curbed at 2 years old and younger, begin to work on it and chisel on it to take it off. It's still a monster now. By now. It's a monster, and when they get together, they just can't function together. Character qualities are very foundational for a successful marriage. Love versus selfishness. People think, "Oh, I love her. I love him." But you know, the Bible speaks of, in the Greek, three different types of love. The first one is Eros love, and that's just a very... And they're all from God, but the Eros love is just a very Eros love. A selfish love. Then there's the Philia love, which is the one for our brothers and family. Then there's the agape love. That's the one that seeks out for the highest good and welfare of another. That's the love that God displayed and God demonstrated when he gave Jesus Christ into this world to save you and me. What was in us? The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, enemies, he did that for us. That's a demonstration of the agape love. And that is what it needs in the homes to carry us through in a marriage that is lacking. Love versus selfishness, and responsibility versus unreliability. You know, when a child isn't taught responsibility, when they go for their driver's license, they're taught to be responsible for your vehicle that you're driving. You are responsible for this vehicle and how to be responsible. But in marriage, just take it and run. Go. They don't know how it is to be responsible. Humility versus pride. Decisiveness. Being able to make decisions based on biblical principles to lead out in your home. Loyalty versus infidelity. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." man of integrity, is a man of character. Says his children will be blessed after him. And for the young ladies, they are obedience versus stubbornness. Someone has to lead in the home, in the marriage. God has ordained it to be the husband, and God didn't ask the husband to be a dictator, but to lead and to nourish and to cherish his wife and to lead out in the home. Responsibility. Yes, after marriage, there is a responsibility. Duties of the house, of the home with children. Responsibility versus unreliability. That's why there's so many abortions today. It's because they don't want the responsibility of that child that it brings into their lives. That's sad. Reverence. Respect versus disrespect. Gratefulness. Thankfulness versus murmuring. And also loyalty versus infidelity. Proverbs 31:10-12 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life." That's the blessing of a woman of character by your side. A virtuous woman. She has a woman of character. So character provides a good foundation for trust, and trust is very important in any successful marriage. So character is what you are. Reputation is what people think you are. No one can injure your character. No one but yourself. Your reputation can rise and fall, as it did for Joseph in Egypt. Joseph had character. Nobody could hurt his character. When Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, his reputation went way down. You know, put him in prison. But what did he do there? He was faithful. His character shined out there. It was only a matter of time that the man in charge of the prison handed responsibility to Joseph. Why? Something set him apart from all the other inmates in the prison, didn't it? Something did. Does it affect his destiny? Yes, it does. So his reputation began to rise again in prison. No doubt the caretaker, he knew why he was in there. The prison guard. This man. But you know, after seeing his character, he began to trust him. It changed that. His reputation. So character is your guard to your reputation. 1 Peter 3:16 says, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you of your good conversation in Christ." Of your good walk of life or your good character that you have in Christ. They begin to know you. They see, this man isn't what they were telling me he is. Because of your good conversation in Christ or your good character. Now let's think about developing character into the lives of our children. This is the parents' responsibility. And I'd say with the church's support. Ephesians 6:4 says, if I'll just turn there. says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So by that we see it's the parents' responsibilities, yes, and with the support of the church. And also it says there, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Who remembers what this stands for? R plus R minus R equals R. Roman shared that, while he was here. Who remembers what this? Yes, Elam. Yes. Rules plus rules minus relationship equals rebellion. That kind of stuck with me. I think right there in that passage under Ephesians 6. I just put a note in there. RR minus R equals this. It's a good reminder for us as dads. You know, we can have, you know, we're going to instill character in our children. You're not going to do this. And we get angry at them and yell at them and maybe call them a name or so. And what are we doing? Relationship is... This is... Yes, relationship is turning to rebellion. A seething rebellion just beginning. Even though you can control them, you know, when they're young, there comes a time when you can't control them. If this is the end, rebellion. So you need that relationship there. That's a bridge to their heart. Don't destroy it. Through harshness and anger. Yes. Let's think about, when we think about that character, like I said earlier, it also means indicating an engraver or an engraving tool, as a chisel, you know, where you chisel away at a diamond or a stone. It meant an image cut in or stamped. You know, with that, I have to think of Mount Rushmore. Just the Rocky Mountain. Then someone took the time. Yes, took the time. And it takes time with your children. It takes time. And sometimes it seems like you don't have time. But it takes time to develop character into their lives. In the face of that mountain, he had an engraving tool and cut some character on the face of that mountain. He had a vision. He began to chisel away, cut away, until the desired image was developed. Here a little and there a little, with patience, determination, diligence, the image of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt began to appear on the face of the mountain. Now it grabs people's attention. They stop to see it. They will even drive miles to see it. Why? Because it's no longer just a blank stone mountain. It's got character to it. Somebody with an engraving tool made the difference. Chipping away a little here and there. Just keeping on. He had a vision. That's where we need a vision too, parents. Because the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That means, where there is no vision, the people become unrestrained. And they become, where there's no vision, the people perish. They become unrestrained. And they become much what we see today in our society. It almost seems like little demons. It's because no vision. Where there is no revelation of God being brought to the next generation. Where their character is chiseled away with what thus saith the Lord. This is what God wants from your life. This is what God says about this situation. This is who God is. Thus and thus. Where there is no vision, the people become unrestrained and become like, you put in the blank. So this man on Mount Rushmore, he had a vision. And that's what we need too. Likewise, it grabs the world's attention when your children have character, qualities of patience and respect, good manners, a thank you, excuse me, kindness, responsibility, those characters. It grabs the world's attention. Behavior. Obedience. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And I believe his father also. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The rod of correction. This is where we may not forget this when you use the rod of correction. Relationship. Are you using the rod out of anger? Some fathers, that's the only time they use it. They get so stirred up with anger, they'll grab their belt or whatever, and that's the time they'll lash out and they destroy relationship. Yes, God's word says to use the rod, but I use it carefully in the fear of God. Pray with your child and talk to him with what has transpired in his life to bring him to this occasionally where he needs the paddle. And they do need it from time to time. But I believe if you use it with prayer and the fear of God, you will not destroy relationship. Somehow God has ordained it that their guilt is cleansed away. They know why you got the paddle and they had to endure that paddling. They know why. Before they were guilty and they wouldn't maybe even want to come close to you, but they just kind of hoped you would forget and it would pass away. But after the ordeal is over, and a loving relationship established again with that child of yours, their guilt is gone. And they're just so happy. God has ordained it that way to clear their guilt. And they relearn from that experience. Don't they? Yes, they did. I did anyhow in my growing up years when the paddle was used. And I needed it. Some need it more than others. But be careful. A child left to himself becomes selfish, careless, self-centered, indifferent, covetous, slothful, unbelief, greedy, harsh, murmuring, disrespectful, prideful, idle, unfaithful, lying, angry, disobedient, tardiness, wasteful, unreliable, self-indulgent, and foolish. And there's no beauty in a negative character such as that. That will bring parents to shame and despair, like the face of that stone mountain. Nothing really attractive about it to draw your attention to anything. But the opposite of these is love, attentiveness, compassion, contentment, diligence, faith, generosity, gentleness, thankfulness, humility, respect, meekness, obedience, patience, punctuality, responsibility, self-control, and wisdom. You see that in a child and it gets noticed. And you saw it today. It's like a light on a hill. Stands out. It's like Mount Rushmore. It gets attention. People take notice. When you go through the grocery store with 3, 4 children, maybe a half a dozen, and they're following you, you know, they're not pulling things off the chair, "Mommy, I want this," and they're yelling at you, and you push the cart on past down the shelf, and they get angry and scream. You see that in the stores. The store managers see that probably regularly on a daily basis. But then the mother, Christian mother, comes in with her children. Not just one. Praise God for all the children that are in here, but praise God for every one of them. She might have 2 or 3, maybe up to, I don't know how many. But they go through there, they're respectful. They're not grabbing for things. And there's orderliness there. There's just a difference with character in the children. It gets noticed. How do you do it? I wonder how she does it. I've never seen anything like it. There must be a God in the world. I just saw something. Children that are behaved and obedient. Yes. Respectful. Self-control. In the doctor's office or in the dentist. Patience. At the bank. Thankfulness. That character stands out in a society where children are left to themselves. Probably many of you, I don't know, parents, you've faced it already when I say thankfulness, being thankful. When you go to the bank, many times if you take your child along, they want to give your child a piece of candy. You want your child to say thank you. I don't know if you ever faced the embarrassment of, for some reason, they just don't want to say thank you then. And that is not a time for you to stand there and make a scene, you know. Well, then I say thank you, thank you. And the more you press upon him, the harder it is for him, you know, and soon there's a scene. And the teller of the bank is maybe even kind of embarrassed. The best thing to do is, if your child doesn't say thank you, just say thank you for the child. Smile and leave. But you know, then that's something you need to work on. But when you go home, don't look over at the child and say, and just scold him for it. I told you the next time we come in here, you're going to say thank you. And just nail it to him. That's not how you do it. Just think, you know, that here's an opportunity. Let it be a teachable moment in your home. You be the teller at home. And your wife and your child is coming up to you. You give the child a piece of candy. Teach him how to be thankful. Motivate him. Encourage him. Don't use it in opportunity where you destroy relationship with your child, where he hates to go with daddy because I'm going to the bank and they're going to give me a piece of candy and I don't want to say thank you and I don't know how. Use that as an opportunity, teachable moment. Chisel here a little, there a little. Thankfulness will come out. It takes time. It takes time. It's not all done in a day. Your children are like a diamond in the rough. The diamond in the rough may first appear like just a piece of charcoal. There's really no beauty, that much beauty in it, as far as character is concerned. You cannot see the beauty of the diamond when it's in the rough, but somebody can. He knows there's something valuable there. There's something beautiful there. It's the gem cutter. He has his cutting tools and he goes to work. He has a vision. There's a diamond in the rough. He's going to chisel it out. It's going to become beautiful. It's going to become valuable, worth something. Something that will catch people's attention. The diamond will. And that's exactly what God wants you to do as parents in the lives of your children, of your child. With the engraving tool and the Word of God. And you're chiseling away and you cut away that which is wrong and that which is ugly and should not be there until the desired image is developed, a diamond from the rough. Beautiful. Begin chiseling early. Yes. And the Word of God. And I had to think of Proverbs 9, verse 10, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That is one of the first chiseling tools you want to use. And the Word of God is, "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." The fear of God does something in a child. It's putting them into their hearts, their beings, the knowledge of God. You know Him as your Father. They can know Him as your Creator, as your Father in heaven. They know Him as what He did in the Bible stories. Bring to them the knowledge of God, which puts into their hearts the fear of God. Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And the fear of God will eventually, I believe, bring them where they see their need for God, for the Savior. Because the fear of God, eventually they will come to mind that there's also a judgment day coming when every man shall face the judge. Either he's going to be your judge or he's going to be your father. Which one do you want? I'd much rather die and he's my father. I meet my Savior. I don't want to die and meet a judge. He's the judge now. He has took the judgment of your sins and my sins upon himself. The beauty of the gospel. Where he can change our lives. Yes. Planted to them the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 20, verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his doings whether his work be pure or whether it be right." And there are also, as you well know, other sources of influence in the world that we need to be aware of that can hinder the development of good character in your child. Negative peer pressure. Movie stars. Music. The wrong kind of music can be detrimental in character. Communication media, teachings of schools and other worldly institutions that do not honor God and His Word. So I do thank God for the home schoolers and for the Christian day school we have here at Christian Light. I believe that's their desire. They're just working with the church and with the parents to bring godly character out in the children. Yes. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 and 7. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be, where? In thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Here we see the command is first to us as parents to love the Lord God and His teaching. But first it needs to be in whose heart? In thine heart. Then you teach them diligently unto thy children, and so on. This command makes us make discussion our character qualities on a regular basis, using God's chiseling tool, the Word of God, to our children. Here a little, there a little. Make correction by pointing out missing character qualities. Jesus did this to the disciples. We see in Mark 4:39 and the storm at the sea. He calmed the sea, then He said, "Where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith?" But be careful, it's always easier to complain and ridicule the lack of performance in your child rather than give praise when it is due to your child. Jesus also gave praise to His disciples, to Simon Peter, when it was due. "Blessed art thou," He said to Simon. And to the woman of Canaan, "Great is thy faith." To the woman that broke the bottle of ointment and anointed Jesus' feet, Jesus praised them. So we need to do likewise. When a child is kind, generous, shows responsibility, has faith, is diligent, give praise to them. I heard praise 10 times for every time of a correction. It motivates the child. It's a great motivator and strengthens your relationship with the child. Some of these I shared, I thought I might just share a couple of experiences from my own youth, from my own life, and thinking of character. By nature, children don't like or want responsibility. But when the job is first new, you know, they're always anxious to do that. And it seems they don't want to do what they can do, they want to do what you're doing. So, you need to guide them in that. One thing they can do is washing dishes, rinsing, sweeping the floor. When they want to help, bless them. But, you know, it gets pretty old quick. That is when we as parents must chisel and carve that character of responsibility and diligence and endurance through in us. Not just the job half done, cut corners, but complete the job. And it's so much fun to scatter the toys and play with them. But when cleanup time comes, who is going to do it? Mama. She doesn't. But she's so busy already, and it's easier to just do it and get it over with than teach her child orderliness, the beauty of orderliness. If not, you will have sloppiness and disorder. The same is with making their beds. Mom or big sister can just do it quick and it's done. No, even if it takes them a while and they don't get it as neat as you do, you are in the process of chiseling orderliness and responsibility and obedience, diligence into their character with whatever task you ask them to do. Be patient with them. Yes, it takes time. You know, for myself, how well I remember pulling weeds in the garden, in the field, picking berries. Go out in the morning when the sun was up. As soon as the sun, we had strawberries we raised to sell. Soon it was daylight. We were out there, stooped over, oftentimes till lunchtime, picking berries. How many children love that? They hate it. I did. But you know, it never hurt me. It was good for me. It taught me a good work ethic. That's what it did. Going out there in a 5-acre field in the springtime, everything is life, including the weeds. And the mustard, just weeds are just coming up through the hay field. Dad looks at it and he says, "We didn't go out. We didn't have the sprayer where you just go over it with a weed sprayer and just kill the weeds." He had boys, 4 of us. So let's go out there, including the girls. We went out there in the morning and pull weeds and pull weeds and pull weeds about all day. But, you know, after we were done, it was nice and clear. The weeds were, those yellow things sticking up and out of that hay field was gone. I hated it. But, you know, it wrought something in me that today I cherish. It was good for me. It put him in me, you know, you don't just give up the job half done, but you continue until it's done. Then I remember also the time, and I think I shared this story already, washing dishes. When I was a certain age, I'm not sure what it was, 7, 8, my job was to help with the dishes every day in the summertime. Wash dishes. I hated it. I came to the place where I got a headache every time after lunch was over. The thought of washing dishes. But you know, and one time I just disappeared. And it worked. I came around, the dishes were all cleaned away and it was nice and tidy. So I did it again. And when I was in my hiding, Dad came looking for me. That's the time he used the paddle on me. And I knew he had a right to do it. So it didn't destroy my relationship. I was guilty. But you know, with that, he was part of chiseling out the slothfulness in my life, the disobedience, the idleness, the disrespect out of my life. And I also remember in the wintertime, it was me and my brother's responsibility every evening in the wintertime to fill the wood box with firewood. And we took turns. One evening it was my turn, and next time it was his. And fill the coal bucket and bring it in before dark. But there was times I forgot. And it was dark, and it was after supper, and they wanted to fix the stove for the night. Hey, the coal bucket is empty, Mark. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You know, that can be an easy thing that we tend to have, the excuse of forgetting. I forgot. Children very quickly and easily learn that excuse. I forgot. That is carelessness, indifference, and unreliability in this young lad's life. So no matter how dark it was outside or how late, I still had to go fetch a bucket of coal all by myself. Me and the flashlight. When I went out, you know, it was shining in the dark, you know, where it's, I was always thoughtful that there's a spook out there someplace. It wasn't too bad as long as I could be quiet and go out there. But open the coal door, bin door, metal shovel, and you have this old tin rattle, a tin bucket. And you can't do that very quiet. It makes all kinds of noise. Now, that just made it worse. You're letting all the spooks know where you're at. So I had my flashlight, you know, and fill it up. Then once the bucket was full, I couldn't just run into the house. It was like a heavy bucket. But I used to always made it in safe. Thankfully, nothing got me. But those unpleasant trips to the coal shed in the dark by myself chiseled out that forgetfulness, which was really carelessness and indifference. So, in conclusion, why is character so important? Why is it important? The ultimate importance is to glorify God. He is worthy, is He not? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The point is, we want to make God look good, don't we? You have that opportunity with your children. The world expects it kind of from adults, but when they see it in children, I remember it's like when we had visitors, we used to have a couple come to our house, usually once a year, and they were from Germany. They'd come in, they would have them in for a meal, which is good. And for a meal, they'd sit there, and our children were around the table, and we talked. They said, "They don't understand this. How do you do it? Your children are so well behaved. How do you do it?" It raises questions in their minds. They take notice. That was an opportunity. I would tell, well, you know, the Bible gives us, well, you know, it seems like you must be doing something more than just the Bible. No, it's just doing what I've been sharing. You know, just a little bit here, just a little bit there. It's bringing the Word of God, following, establishing, developing character in their lives. It's a light that shines in a world. And where is a diamond most noticed? Isn't it not? With a dark background? Many times a diamond, that's how they display it. Put it on a black cloth, then they'll take a picture of it or something behind it. It shines out, stands out. That's what God wants to do with your children. Proverbs 2:24-3 says, "Through wisdom a house is builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." That sounds like a home that is functional. Pleasant riches. We have so many today in our society that are dysfunctional. No pleasant riches in the chambers found. But this is what God wants. The point is, yes, begin early and continue on. Don't lose heart. You know, we fail at times, but rise up. We keep going on. Keep that relationship with your children in good standing. But nevertheless, keep on keeping on, chiseling away a little bit here and there till, like the stone on Mount Rushmore, Olives begins. There's character there. There's the image of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Theodore Roosevelt. It grabs people's attention. That's what God wants to do with character in the lives of your children. Yes, with that I'll close and turn.